Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with, yes, our guru gardeners. It's Lance and Lulu in the house. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hi, everybody.
Great to be here tonight. Jeff rocking out in the control room. He loves that music, loves the theme song. Ready to take your call. Yes, Lulu. 970-527-4868
or 1-866-KVNF now.
And we're high tech worm at KVNF.org. Jeff says, gag me with a worm. That would gag.
No, that's like the song. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to eat some worms. Big, fat, juicy ones. Little, tiny, slimy ones. See how the baby ones squirm. Every good Girl Scout knows that song, I tell you what.
Troop 513, rack on.
Yeah, there you go, see?
All right, you know what we want to do. We want to hear what's going on in your garden. 970-527-4868, 1-866-KVNF now. Spring is blooming out all over.
It really is. I love it.
Just in 24 hours, it's greener and blossomy.
Well, those rains really refreshed everything and got some moisture down deep.
Deep.
Mm-hmm. And, and so it's game on. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yeah, everything's up and ready, going. Still.
Up and ready.
And the daffodils are still blooming. I picked some this morning.
Oh, mine finally quit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, mine finally quit. They're just dead. I got to go out there and dead.
Just dead.
They're just dead.
The black currants are blooming.
Oh, nice.
And they're a yellow golden flower. And
yeah.
I'm out working the garden. I'm going,
what is that smell? Yeah.
And I look, oh, yes, it's the currants. And
that's that yellow bush?
It has a yellow with some red in there.
Yeah.
And it's a tubular flower. So what's really it's going after is moss. Come pollinate me. Come check me out. And they smell really good in the evening.
Oh,
They're amazing. It's an amazing smell.
Yeah.
And they're right in where you walk in the back gate at my house. They can really, you get this whiff, you know. It's delightful.
Yeah.
All right, sweet. We already have a caller, and it is Ed here in Paonia. He is looking for some advice. Good evening,
yeah.
Ed.
Well, you're in the right place, honey.
Bring it on.
I want good advice, by the way.
Now he's got to have a condition on it.
for the first time in decades, as far as I can remember, my rhubarb isn't all glossy green at this time of the year. It's sort of shriveled and yellow. What about that? That's funny. We were just talking about that.
Rhubarb is on my list. I suspect, has it ever survived this kind of dry winter? There's been some dry winters, but I suspect.
Not this dry.
The dry winter and then some cold snaps. Water it and fertilize it.
And you were saying, Lance, nitrogen.
It really likes nitrogen. So, fresh manure. This is one plant you could put fresh manure on.
Fresh manure.
Maybe not chicken manure, but it likes to grow really good.
Yeah, horse manure or cow manure is just fine. You can even, soak them in a 5-gallon bucket, soak a cow pie or something, and soak it up and then water the plant. And is it just your leaves that are?
Well, I haven't looked. The stalks aren't very big yet. Let me see. I'll bend over and look at them. I think the stalks are okay.
Yeah.
They look as good. They're not very big yet, but they look as good as they ever have.
That's what it is. It's just frost. It's just had a hard time.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that going on.
And how old is that plant?
Oh gosh.
Decades.
Decades.
Yeah, decades.
Nice.
Yeah,
Do I have to do away with it?
No. Oh my God.
Manure.
Yeah.
Manure tea on that rascal, and then just wait until you can start picking it, and it's probably going to be fine.
Yeah.
Do you pick it when it's? Do you habitually use it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
I didn't have a very good crop last year for some reason, but usually I get through the winter. I make a sort of a compote out of it, and I eat it on my cereal all year. But this year it ran out in January.
So you're looking for a good ribeye
crop.
Yeah,
it's just having a hard time.
I would, just for the fun of it, I don't think it's a little late now, but maybe next spring, I would divide a side shoot and put it in another spot. If that plant's been in there for 30-something years, the soil might be deficient in whatever rhubarb.
Yeah, well, I put compost on. I put manure and compost on it.
Yeah, maybe that's it,
It's just something like, I think every 10 years, I move my raspberry patch.
Okay.
That's crazy.
You can tell.
The raspberry patch.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it's, soil gets burned out after a while.
What time part of the year, when do I divide it?
Just as it's starting to break in the spring.
In the spring.
Yeah, just start right when it's just starting to grow.
Crack of spring.
Late. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Hey, thank you very much.
Yeah. All right, thanks
for
the call.
Thanks, Ed.
Bye.
Bye, Ed.
Love rhubarb. What's that wife's tale about only eating it in months with a U in it, maybe?
Now, that's somebody must have been high.
Yeah, right.
The thing is, you never eat the leaves.
Never eat the leaves.
The leaves.
Just the stalks.
Just the stalks.
Oh, yummy.
And I was going to tell you guys about this story about the rhubarb plant up in Aspen that I dug up with a friend to try and move it, and we had a hole going 3 feet down, and a root that was the size of half of a 5-gallon bucket around.
No kidding.
It was huge, and it was on the side of Aspen Mountain, and it had obviously been there since the mining days, and it was astonishing. And we moved it, and it grew.
Awesome. Yeah. I love plants
amazing.
Like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are some plants right now that have had trouble, like your myrtle coming through that winter, that dry winter. I've definitely got some die off going on.
Yeah. My but you know what's thriving, and it's really pissing me off, is the ladybells, that Anadorphima.
Uh-huh.
You know, but I dug down, and I was going to bring it in to show you guys. Maybe I'll do it next week. But I dug down and got a mother root. Remember I was telling you about the mother root? I got a mother root that's this – oh, you can't see it on the radio.
About a foot.
About 10 inches or a foot. Mm-hmm. And I swear I was down a foot and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
At least a foot and a half.
Yeah.
It was – and it's big. It's like a deformed – carrot, you know, it's...
I know, once you get going at it, you just gotta...
You just feel like a dog that's going at, you know, digging a hole.
In the bone.
Yeah, so that stuff is thriving, and it's everywhere in my yard. And
everything's blooming.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. And the myrtle, it's having a hard time. The myrtle is having a hard time coming up through all the debris from last year because
that's
it was so dry.
Too. Debris.
Yeah. And now that it's wet, I already soaked it once when I had the 2 days of irrigation water. I soaked it down, but now it's starting to look like it's going to win. Uh-huh. I'm having faith.
Oh, yeah. Myrtle knows how to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, 527-486-8 1-866 KVNF now. Check the email worm@kvnf.org. And did we survive the cold and freeze from last week? We were talking about that.
22, 23 doesn't...
up on Redlands.
Yeah, up there. Doesn't bode well, even if you have heaters and wind machines.
Yeah.
You know, it's just too cold when it's like that.
I'd like to hear a report, maybe from Delicious Orchards.
Or, any of the orchardists out there. We would love to hear from you guys.
Yeah. So, but the next day, next morning, the wind machines were still running on Rogers Mesa, so that means there's still fruit.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And not too bad here for moi, Lulu, in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
It was okay.
Boy, I'll tell you, usually it was 30 degrees on my front porch on the high-low thermometer, so I don't know how we stayed so warm.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Thank you, universe, for that.
Yeah, I've got my peaches made it. They're on and doing well, and The cherry tree remains to be seen, but there are bees.
Bees working it?
Bees are working
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So. Last week we were chatting about the bees being rather scarce, and it seems like over the last week they are just out there. And thank you to my neighbor who has some bees.
Oh, yeah, Amber. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness. Yeah, she gets the whole neighborhood going. And the hummingbirds are back.
The hummingbirds are back, yeah. Just this weekend, I think. In the last 3 days
it was
or something.
It was... Let me think. They usually come on the 21st, and they were 2 days late. They came on the 23rd.
2 days late, really?
Yeah, I think they got hung up by that storm. They waited,
uh-huh.
And then they came. I knew they were going to come. I knew it.
And you had your feeder out.
Yeah, I had my feeder out, and there it was, and the little darling showed up, and I'm so excited.
What's your recipe, may I ask, for your
feeder?
Oh,
you know what? That's really important. Mm-hmm. So when you go to put your new your feeders out, if you have a brand new one, you should at least, kind of rinse it off and maybe a little soap and water and make sure you rinse it really well, because there's all kinds of stuff on and in and around that plastic.
Right.
Okay, and then the formula is 4:1, 4 cups of water to 1 cup of sugar. And always use white sugar. Don't use honey. Don't use maple syrup. Don't use raw sugar, brown sugar, nothing. Use white
Good
refined
old white sugar.
Sugar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what I do is I boil my water and dissolve the sugar that way. So it's sterile. It's clean. And, after a while, make sure your hummingbird feeder is clean. Make sure you're not getting black mold in it and stuff like that. And, they're...
Help the little They're critters out.
They're fabulous creatures, and they need to be given a nice, clean, sterile, and it's obviously not going to be totally sterile, but a clean environment.
Clean food.
Mm-hmm. Clean
we
food.
All deserve that, don't
yeah,
we?
Clean food. Clean water,
Mm-hmm.
And the refined sugar doesn't have the potential to have any bacteria in it. Like honey has. What does honey have in it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Botulism
yeah.
or something. Mm-hmm. I can't remember now. But honey has something in it that is, it's the reason you don't give it to tiny babies. So don't use honey. And there you are. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
All right, little birdies.
I love those little creatures.
I do, too. I love hearing them and feeding them and just watching their...
Antics.
They're antics, right?
Boy, once they get started, right now it seems like there's just the one little, there's one or two in town in our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
they'll be coming on.
Yeah, they're coming. I don't know where the girls are, but they'll be here.
The birds are crazy right now.
Yeah,
totally
they're
loving
going
it.
Off.
Yeah. Okay, 970-524-8681-866-KVNF now. And we talked about what's blooming. Your soil's ready to go, right, Lance?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You got your cover crops?
The cover crop tilled in just before the rain. And so,
oh,
perfect.
How perfect.
And that's that timing thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I knew it was coming, so I went and did it. And I mowed it 2 days prior to tilling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let it sit there
yeah.
in the rain?
It was before the rain.
Before the rain.
Yeah, I went out there with the lawnmower. Sometimes you can do it with the weed whacker. It depends on your... your size and what you have going. So I used a lawnmower and mowed it all down and tilled it in. And so that's all ready. I might till it one more time because rye can root.
Replant itself.
Ah.
Yeah, even though I've tilled it in. Most of it will not, but I will. There will be some.
Okay.
And then all my beds are ready, and all I have to do is add compost when it's time to plant them.
And time to plant. Just being according to what seed you have going?
Well, it's a temperature.
Temperature.
Yeah,
and
the right
soil
time.
Temperature. Do you use a soil?
No, but I'm out there all the time.
Yeah, you know.
You can tell.
And right
yeah.
now,
yeah.
It's not time to plant squash and tomatoes.
Oh, God.
I have that one bed of carrots planted, and I won't plant another bed of carrots until that one's germinated. And it's just – and that's not that I couldn't, but to have – 2 full beds, having to thin them at the same time.
Nightmare.
You would never
be
get
easy on yourself.
So you do it, and even though I'm thinning carrots for over a month,
You'd be down on your knees. You'd never get back up.
You know,
we'd have to go out there and pry you up. You know,
yeah.
What's up,
and
Doc?
I actually don't let anybody thin my carrots.
Yeah, you are pretty picky about that.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I really don't.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, it is Sean calling from Montrose on the line. Hello, Sean. What's going on?
So my wife and I just bought an acre out here west of Montrose, and there's a canal ditch on the back end of our acre, and I was thinking about planting asparagus in it. I've heard, you know, a lot of these canals have just wild asparagus growing in it, and I just wanted some advice on how to go about planting. And I'd hate to plant something wild asparagus and not be able to eat it or something. Or,
okay. You know? Awesome.
Yeah.
Good topic here.
Well,
that's tricky.
It's tricky. First of all, is it the ditch that's on your side? Is it on the downhill side or the uphill side?
I have both sides of the ditch.
Okay, because when they clean that ditch, they're going to dump the dirt on the downhill side. So don't plant it on that side.
Okay,
I saw that.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
You're going to plant it on the uphill side of the ditch.
Okay.
And I would, since you're buying crowns, or you can dig, if you see any wild asparagus around someplace, a fence line or something, but you can buy asparagus crowns in the stores or through catalogs. And you would dig about a 12-inch hole minimum and plant it in the bottom.
Wow.
Yeah. And
deep.
And then just cover it with dirt. You might have to hand water or bucket some water out of that ditch. And then as it grows, you fill the hole up. And this is only the first time you have to do it, the first year. After that, it'll just take care of itself.
So I dig a 12-inch hole, put the asparagus piece in it.
Yep. And cover it with about an inch of dirt. Leave the hole there.
Interesting.
Leave the hole there. And then as that spear grows, you cover the hole up. When it gets about 6 inches tall, cover it 3 inches or more soil. And the reason you do that is because the crown cannot push a spear 12 inches through the ground.
Yeah.
And the other reason why they're planted that deep in traditional, you could plant it 6 inches deep, it'll grow. But the reason why you plant it that deep is in asparagus fields were planted traditionally about 18 inches. And that's so in the fall, they can take a disc and disc over the whole field and not tear up the crowns. And also, they come up later. They don't.
Yeah, and usually when you get crowns from a garden, you know, a seed catalog or whatever, they have these tentacles that come off of them, and you dig a ditch and you put a mound in the middle of the ditch, and then you put the tentacles down and you cover the dirt over everything, but you end up only having, like, I don't know, not very much dirt on top of the crown. What, maybe 4-6 inches?
Yeah,
maybe?
At most, yeah.
At most. And that's how you do it if you're going to get them from a seed catalog or whatever. But what you're talking about doing is different.
Yeah, well, he's just going to wildcraft them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about the soil? Because Montrose has some crazy soil on those ditches. And you mentioned earlier, Lance, that asparagus needs rich soil, or it likes rich soil.
All that silt in that water.
It's
going to
do it just fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, if you know where some is growing, I mean, just, you know, check it out. See what it's doing. Check out its environment and then try to mimic it.
Yeah,
on
idea.
Your ditch, you know, so yeah,
that's
just
fine.
It's tricky. It's gonna be a little tricky, but good on you. I hope it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then can I ask another question or no?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, go for it.
So my wife and I would also like to plant just a really big garden, but currently it's just overwhelmed by the natural grass, weeds. I'm opposed to spraying any kind of chemical on it. Is there like a good way to, like, if I just rototill the whole thing?
New garden.
Oh boy!
All kinds of different things.
I would start small. You know what I would do? I would divide and conquer.
Yeah.
Just handful each weed or something.
No.
No. figure out how big you want to do it, and maybe you could sheet mulch.
Mm-hmm. She could sheet mulch.
Sheet mulch. And
what does that mean, sheet mulch? Is that where you put that cardboard down and
you
can mulch over it?
No, you just mulch.
Just use hay.
But what the vibe means is what I'm going to just add to it. Mm-hmm. Write down what you want to grow and what you want to eat and keep it to a minimum. Like, you're only going to want one zucchini hill, maybe two or three cucumber hills, maybe five tomatoes, and one of those is a cherry. You know,
throwing it out there. Yeah.
You know. And
start small.
And I wouldn't go for the real small seeds, carrots, stuff, because they're really difficult to get up.
You're going to want your soil to be in better condition. What kind of weeds do you have? Do you know?
I have no idea. The kind that you don't want. The kind that I don't want.
that could be a factor too. Figure out what kind of weeds you have and give us a call back.
Yeah
we can work with that.
Yeah.
We have a whole list here of weeds and what they indicate in the soil.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, super. We're going to talk about that in a minute.
Awesome. Well, I'll be listening. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you, Sean. Good luck with your garden and your ditch asparagus. Bye. Yeah,
yeah, that's going to be tricky.
Super. 527-486-1866 KVNF now, and it's Amber on the line. Hi, Amber.
Hello, Worm.
Hi.
Hi, Amber. Is this Amber in the hood?
Amber in the hood.
Amber right down the
extra
tree.
Worm. Uh-huh. One of our worms.
Extra worm with the bees.
I gotta say, like, you are so much warmer than I am, and I'm literally a block from you.
I know. Isn't that amazing? Because she's right on Minnesota Creek. Yes,
yeah. Oh,
right
on the creek. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was like 23 here cold night.
Wow. So.
You were much colder, or much warmer than I was.
That's amazing.
That's interesting.
Yeah, just what that water temperature can do.
Yeah, and I'm just lower.
It's the
cold air follows, the cold air is exactly like water, and it follows the lowest spots.
Yeah.
That's just what it does. It flows like water.
And what did you see happen in your garden, Amber? What happened?
You know, my peaches were in pretty much full bloom. Oh. So they kind of look a little withered. But my almond tree is going off right now.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Oh, excellent. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, because it rarely makes it. But it is just in full glory.
What kind of almond tree?
I don't know. I moved in and it was here already, so... it's a hardy almond. It's never.
Is it pink or white? Pink or white?
It's white.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's nonpareil.
You think it's a what?
A nonpareil.
What's that mean?
Oh. Nonpareil is the standard California almond that all other almonds are rated off of for bloom time and harvest time. So it's and it has a white. The Hall's Hardy Almond.
Oh, yeah.
It's a pink flower.
Oh, you're right, because I'm looking at the other tree, and it's pink. Yeah.
Okay. And the Hall's Hardy Almond will probably help pollinate the nonpareil. Nonpareil is a French variety. It's been, over here.
Yeah, I wonder if Wind planted those.
Does he live there?
I think he lived there a long time ago.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Yeah.
He loves almond trees.
Yeah. Wind might have planted those. Get a hold of him and see what he's thinking.
Yeah.
And thank you for the bees, Amber.
Yeah.
I just wanted to throw that in there love my yard, and
good,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, and it's been so chilly at night that they don't get out very early, and they kind of shut down early, so that's why they haven't been out. But this 70-degree day, they're so happy. But I wanted to say thank you for putting out your recipe, because one thing that happens with bees is that if you make your syrup for your hummingbird feeder too rich in sugar, like if you do 2-to-1 or make it rich mix, you will start to attract bees, which some people don't like to see on their hummingbird feeders. So if you're starting to see bees on your feeder, it might be that you're making it too sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And if you make it the 5-to-1, I think, or what your recipe was.
Four cups of water and one cup of sugar.
And they're not interested in something that weak. So it'll get rid of the bees. And you can also spray down your feeder with a spray oil.
With a what oil?
Like a spray oil. Like a cooking oil. Sprayer. Just so lightly.
Yeah.
On the outside, and they can't get a foothold, so they won't hang out there.
Oh. That's a good trick.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a trick for people if you, you know, if you're getting bees and you don't want bees.
Yeah.
Then just do those two things, and you won't have them.
Oh, excellent.
And they're going to go to your plants and your flowers.
Yeah, right, where they belong.
Right.
Good advice, Amber.
Wow, yeah. Awesome, awesome.
So, yeah, just wanted to pass that along.
Oh. All right, thank you, Amber, our fellow worm.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you.
Awesome. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, great advice and good questions coming from everyone tonight. I love it when the phones light up.
Well, it's really good that everybody helps everybody out. That's the thing. We're all in this together, right? No matter what. And so the more we can do the right things for each other, the better it is all around.
Everything life's all about.
Yeah, everything benefits. So go for it, you know.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that lavender popped in my mind.
Lavender.
And going back to the guy calling about the rhubarb and how they had a hard time. Lavender, I've seen more dead lavender from the dry winter this year.
My sage isn't real super happy either.
Yeah,
my
sage I'm just saying that if you see your lavender didn't survive the winter, as it was the dry winter.
And is there anything you can do to
if it's dead, it's dead.
Dead. You might trim it a little bit and water it and see if some shoots come out. I sort of doubt it.
Yeah, or you could just you know what? I'm just going to buy some more.
There you go. I know there's some plant replacement going on this spring.
And lots of people that have just lavender as a landscape plant, the amount of seedlings underneath those guys is phenomenal.
Yeah. Right. Kind of like the Russian sage, because I kind of chopped that down to the wood, and I just see these little things coming right out of the wood. It's so awesome. Yeah. You cannot kill that stuff.
Yeah, and the butterfly bush does that, too.
Yeah, butterfly bush.
Yeah, and mine's already budded out, or not budded, but leafed out a bit, and I'm still going to whack it.
Sure.
I just don't. Yeah. It's every bush for itself
in
my place.
It blooms on new wood. So
There you go.
So what the heck?
You got to have it.
Give me some new wood.
There you go.
All right. Hey, I want to let everybody know that coming up on Monday, May 14th, here at the Paradise Theater in Paonia, 7 p.m., there's a great seed-saving movie. And it's put on by Slow Food, Western Slope, the Learning Council, and, of course, VOGA, Valley Organic Growers Association. And this is John Kuykendall?
Close enough.
Yep. Close enough. It's deeply rooted, his journey to save our seeds and stories. And we know there's a lot of stories around seeds. And
I think it's been here before, and it's a great – whether it's this movie or another one, it's – fascinating.
Yeah. Saving traditional farming practices, preserving them for future generations. And if I could just really quick, I want to mention the passing of our friend and neighbor, Jack Reed, today, who had a lot of influence on farm-to-table food and here in the valley and in the Roaring Fork. And really good guy and enjoyed life and enjoyed dancing. And thank you, Jack.
Yep, thank you.
All right, that is going to do it for us. It's Tara coming up with One Woman's Perspective. Thank you, Lance, Lulu.
Weeds next week.
Oh,
okay. And so much more.
Yeah,
and so much more.
Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for your calls. Appreciate you listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF. Right.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Took a shine to, or who you're out to make a sign to. I gotta get that I love so lowly, low and low.